The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parasha is Parashas Mishpotim. Ve'ele HaMishpotim asher tosim lifnehem. And these are the laws which you shall place before them. Rashi states, Ve'ele ha-mishpotim, kol mokum shenamar ele posoles ha-rishonim. Ve'ele meisiv ha-rishonim. Had it stated, Ele ha-mishpotim, these are the laws, then it would be a new topic. Since it states, Ve'ele ha-mishpotim, and these are the laws, this means that this chapter is linked with the previous chapter. What was the previous chapter in the Torah? The giving of the Torah. The Matan Torah, standing at Sinai and receiving the Ten Commandments. Maharishayri mi Sinai, af elu mi Sinai. Therefore the Torah here, with this extra verb, is coming to teach us that just like the Ten Commandments came from Sinai, these mishpotim, these laws, also come from Sinai. V'loma nismacho parshas dinim leparshas mizbeach. In the previous chapter, the very final part of it, was laws regarding the mizbeach, the altar, that you shall make an altar from adoma, from ground. And if you make one of stone, you shall not cut it with metal, and so forth. Why is this parsha written immediately after that? To tell us that the Sanhedrin, that was the high court, the supreme court, which was in charge of the dinim, in charge of these laws, executing these laws, it should be placed right next to the Beis HaMikdash, on the same ground, in the same complex of the temple. Or there's two texts, or next to the Mizbeach, near the altar, but basically it means the same thing. So from there we learn that when we had the Beis HaMikdash, which was on the Har HaBayis, which was on the Temple Mount in Yerushalayim, the Sanhedrin, the court which was in charge to administer the dinim, was also on that same complex. Now what does it mean, mishpotim? Mishpotim basically are the laws which deal between the, which concern the affairs of men in their society, which we would in English call civil law. And this parsha speaks about a great many of these laws. For example, speaks if a person acquires a slave, what are the laws concerning it? If a person strikes his fellow man, if a person's animal causes damages, if a person assumes responsibility of watching an article which belongs to another man and something happens to it, to what degree is the liability? If a person steals, to what degree is the liability? Person finds a lost article, is he required to return it, or may he keep it, and so forth. In Mishpotim are referred to in Loshon HaKodesh, in Hebrew, as dinim. And the great source for dinim in the Torah, there are several places in the Torah, but the great source is this parsha's Mishpotim. And these are dealt with in a section of the Talmud which is known as Nezikin, damages, and in the section of the Shulchan Aruch which is known as Cheshen HaMishpot. And it's what we would call in English civil law. Now, from the Rashi we've just quoted, we see two principles. Firstly, that there would have been a logic to assume that these laws were not given in Sinai. Ten Commandments were, but not these laws. Therefore, the Torah had to write an extra vav ve'eleh hamishpotim to tell me no. But just like the previous ones were given in Sinai, these also are given in Sinai, from Sinai. So there's one question: why should I think that these laws should be different than other mitzvahs of the Torah? Second principle is that the Mishpatim, the Sanhedrin, whose duty it was to administer these laws, shall be placed next to the Beis HaMikdash. Why? What does the Sanhedrin that's administering the laws, if there's a dispute between two farmers, and the bull of one farmer gored the bull of a second farmer, what does that have to do with the Beis HaMikdash? What does theft have to do with the Beis HaMikdash? What does liability between one man and another have to do with the Beis HaMikdash or the altar? So these are two observations which we can make. Also, there's another question that people in general ask, and that is, why is it necessary for the Torah to go into such length and detail in covering these laws? And the Talmud. Actually, one of the greatest areas of the Talmud is Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, and Baba Basra. And this is the area which deals specifically with these laws. Baba Kama is damages. Baba Metzia deals with all types of liabilities, business law. Baba Basra deals with business laws relating to land purchases and land leases. And the section of Cheshen Mishpat, Shulchan Aruch, which deals with these laws, is the largest section of the entire Shulchan Aruch. Why is it necessary for the Torah to go into so much length and so much detail, as we see in so many cases here in Parshas Mishpatim, in regards to this area? The nations of the world have two areas which are separate and divorced from each other when it comes to government. It's one area which they would classify as dinim, civil law. And there's another area which they would classify as religious law. And these are divorced from each other, as we mentioned. In many nations of the West, it's classified as the separation between church and state. The state will deal with civil law, govern the monetary affairs between men, and the church will deal with the religious laws or the sacramental laws. There are two specific areas with two specific institutions to administer these areas, and they come under the jurisdiction of different leaders. Leaders of government will deal with one area, leaders of church will deal with another area. And they're not to be related one to the other. The purpose of civil law is in order that there should be a civilized society. And each eschaveroi, one man should not swallow up his other man, his friend. This is the purpose of civil law. The purpose of religious law would be to bring some height to man, to sanctify him, to elevate him. And therefore the church will be concerned with its area, and government will be concerned with its area. This is how it is in the world. In the Torah we find not so. We find that the two areas are not separate areas, but totally interchangeable and interacting. For example, this parsha in Pasuk Vov. In Pasuk Vov, it states, "Vigisha Adonov El Elokim, Vigisha La Delas El Amezuza." That if a person acquires a slave, and after 7 years he wants to set him free in accordance to the law, and the slave does not want to go free, so you shall take, the master shall take the slave El Elokim to God. Verosa Adonav es Oznai, and he shall take a bore and bore a hole in his ear. What does it mean? He shall take him to Elohim, to God? Zu Bezdin. Must bring him to the Bezdin. Why is it referred to as Elohim? So the Gemara tells us, Bezdin is called Elohim. We have a second such example. Later on in the Parsha, Chof Beis Zayin. If a man gives to his fellow man some money or some vessels to watch for him, and it is stolen from his house, if you find the thief, then he has to pay double. But if the thief is not found, then the shamer, the one who's guarding, who's watching the articles, he must go to the with the owner to Elohim. And there they have to clarify, he has to clarify, make a statement with an oath that he did not take it himself and he was not negligent and so forth. So it states he shall go to Elohim. What does it mean he shall go to God? So the Gemara tells us, Zubezdin. This is the Bezdin. Now here we have the Bezdin, whose responsibility it is to administer so-called civil law, and it's called by the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shem Kodesh, Elohim, which would seem should be limited to the other area, to the area of religious law, not civil law. That's one example. A second example. Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the person who rose to the highest heights, only he was capable of bringing Torah down to this world. So he rose to heights in some aspects even greater than Avraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov, than the forefathers. Only he was able to go up to Har Sinai and to stay there and speak to Hashem. And only he was capable of being there where the Almighty taught him the entire Torah. And only he was the one that went up there and for 40 days and 40 nights did not eat or sleep. And he saw more than anyone else saw. And he was referred to in the Torah as Ish Elohim, the man of God. Now the Almighty has several names. The name that was specifically referred to Moshe was Elohim, which is the same name of which we call, the Torah calls the Beth Din. And Elohim, this specific name, refers to Dinim, Mishpot, the God of law, the God of judgment. So this is what Moshe was referred to as. And the explanation given is because Moshe was perfect when it came to judgment. He reached higher levels of true judgment, without deviation, to the right or to the left, than any other man. And therefore he was called Ish Olakim. Now there again we see the interaction of these two areas. Moshe Rabbeinu came to greater heights of elevation than any other man. So rather he should have had some name which dealt with the area of religious law, not a name which deals with the area of civil law. Third example. Next week in Parshas Truma, we'll learn, and in the following Parsha, Tetzaveh, we'll learn about the garments of the Kohen Godel. Kohen Godel, the high priest, he also had a special place in Klal Yisrael, something exclusive. He was the only one who wore the special garments. All of the Kahanim had one set of garments, but his was special. They were different. And he was the only one that would go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the most holy parts of the Beis HaMikdash, once a year on Yom Kippur, with the sacrifices, and no one else was allowed to. Now the Beis HaMikdash, this certainly represents the area of which we would refer to as religion, a sacramental law. And the Beis HaMikdash and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the Chazal tell us that the most elaborate garment was the Choshen HaMishpat, which meant the breastplate of law and judgment. Why? Why was this called the breastplate of law and judgment? Because Bo Lechaper Al Kilkul Hadin, all of the garments of the Kohen Godel, of the high priest, not only served merely to clothe him, but they also were a type of sacrifice and offerings to the Almighty, where the actual wearing of these garments helped to bring forgiveness to various shortcomings in Klal Yisrael. Therefore, each one had a specific task. The breastplate, its task was to bring kapara, to bring atonement, al kilkul hadin, where there was distortion of judgment and justice. This was a great shortcoming in Israel. The Choshen HaMishpat was mechaper, would bring atonement. This, incidentally, is why, for the section of Shulchan Aruch which deals with these laws, the name was chosen Choshen HaMishpat. Now there again we see that in the highest areas of the area of sanctity and religious law, we find we are concerned with the dinim, with the civil laws of the Torah. Now a further example. We know Torah, studying of Torah, brings to the person sanctity and wisdom. Brings to the person a wisdom of the Almighty. And the purpose is to elevate and sanctify the person. Torah by Jews is not merely an academic exercise, but it's to be mekadesh, to sanctify the person. One would say, for example, we'll learn about Shabbos, Masechet Shabbos. Or, for example, we'll learn Masechet Brachos, which deals with brachos, making brachos on fruit, and which deals with tefillah, with davening. Or, for example, we'll learn Seder Kodshim, the vast portions of the Talmud which deals with the Beis HaMikdash and all the sacrifices. Or, for example, we can learn Masechta Yuma, the Gemara which deals with Yom Kippur. The Gemara says, if a person wants to become wise, wise in Torah, wise in the wisdom of the Almighty, what section of the Talmud should he devote his time to more than the other? It says, Yasek Bedini Mamanus. He should learn Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra. To the area which deals with these laws. Haretzi Yahkim, Yasek Bedini Mamanus. You want to become wise in Torah, then learn in particular. Any area will make you wise, but this area will make you even wiser. Why? This is something which should be treated merely as a civil law, the needs of civilization. A further example. We know there are various levels of self-perfection and righteousness. The highest level that the Gemara always refers to is what the Gemara calls chosid. Chosid means a person who is a very great righteous person. Ahu chosid. Many times the Gemara tells us about this righteous man. There's a Gemara in Baba Kama where the Gemara poses the question, if someone wants to reach chasidus, he wants to become this level of righteousness. And this was a tremendous level. This was after a person was performed all the mitzvahs, and after a person was a great Talmud Chochem, and after he passed through what was known as a tzaddik and a Yerushamayim and so forth and so on, he came to the level of Ahu Chosid. Many times the Gemara tells us of a Chosid. It was one of the great sages of the Gemara that he went and he met Eliyahu. This was that level. So the Gemara asked the question, if a person wants to reach this level, what must he do? So one of the answers is the Gemara is, Yekayim Mili Nezikin. Wants to reach that level, then the foundation for that is that he must be very careful, he must be perfect in fulfilling all of the laws of Nezikin, all of the laws which relate to damages between man and his fellow man, between one man's property and his fellow man's property. Then he'll become chosid. It's a very strange Gemara. A person wants to become a chosid, he should fast, he should daven, he should fulfill not only mitzvahs, but extra mitzvahs. He should do more than is required. No, the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says, let him be exceedingly careful, let him fulfill all the laws of damages. Then there's also what the Rambam says at the end of Perek Zayin of Hilchos Geneva. We know, a Jew knows, how important it is, the laws of morality, and how much sanctity that brings to the individual Jew and his family. And we know the degradation of immorality, of promiscuity, of adultery, of incest, and so forth and so forth.
which is something which is rampant in our generation today. And we can surmise what the onish, what the punishment for all of this will be. Rambam writes at the end of Hilchis Geneivan, Alocha Yud Beis, Perek Zayin, Alocha Yud Beis, Kosho Einshin Shel Mideis, Yeser Mi Einshin Shel Arayis. When it comes to fair weights and measure, that's Nezikin. A shopkeeper, he has to have a scale. He has to have measures. And the Torah commanded us that we must have fair weights and measures. Someone who does not have fair weights and measures, his punishment is greater than the punishment of arayis, than immorality in the promiscuity that we mentioned. Greater and more. And then he says the reason why. He says, Shazu beinei levein amokim, ze beinei levein chaverei. Because when it comes to immorality, that has to do with him and the Almighty. When it comes to weights and measures, that has to do with the dealings of men, men to men. So we've quoted a few examples. Which emphasize this point. That this area of dinim is not something that takes second place at all. And we see the tremendous emphasis and interaction between other areas of the Torah, which the Torah places on it. Now we see one further point, and that is not like the nations of the world. Can these areas be divided into two areas? There's no such thing in Torah law that there were two divisions of courts, one dealing with religious law and one dealing with civil law. There's no such thing in Torah law that there were two specific areas of law that had any different approach, religious law or civil law. Or, for example, what we would call church and state. To give you an example, if you had a dispute with your neighbor over a wall or over a piece of land, you would come to the Beis Din. If you had a shaila in the kashrus of a piece of meat, you would come to the same Beis Din. If you had a shaila on how to build a sukkah, you would come to the same Beis Din. They might have different judges dealing with it, because it could be that the judges were specializing in specific areas, but it would not be a different branch of the court at all. If you had a question about tefillin or about tzitzis, you would come to the same Beis Din. If there was a problem with marriage or divorce, you'd come to the same court. This was all handled and dealt with the same Beis Din, the same judges, the same Torah. There were no two areas. Not like law of the world, where you have your religious law and you have your civil law. And the reason for this is very deep. We started with a premise that the laws that deal with the affairs of man between man, this is a civil law which is merely to structure society and civilization, where people can live peacefully with each other. This is true, but that's not the source of it. That would be relevant if you had a king, or you had certain people who were responsible to administer communities, and they saw that they had to enact certain rules or laws, then this would be true. But this is not so with the laws of the Torah. The laws of the Torah represent the Seichel HaElyon, represents the thoughts of the Almighty. When a bull of one farmer damages a bull of a second farmer, and we study the Torah to find out what is the degree of liability, this is not merely to keep things at peace or to make some type of compromise or to work out a solution where everyone will be happy. But we are dealing with the Seichel HaElyon. We are dealing with the thoughts and the directions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is much more here than merely resolving the argument. What is this based on? This is based on what is right and what is wrong. If the two want to resolve the argument amongst themselves and they'll say, look, let's meet halfway, then to that they don't have to come to the Beis Din. They don't have to come and ask for the Din Torah. But if they come to the Beis Din and they want a ruling, so then they are seeking Elokim. Like it states at the end of the parsha, that when Moshe went up to the mountain, he said, "Midval balvorim yigash aleihem." Whoever has words with each other, they have a dispute, let them come to you. And from you they will seek the will of the Almighty. In Parshas Yisro, when Yisro saw Moshe sitting so many hours and judging the people, and he said, what is this? So Moshe answered, this is in Yud Ches, Yisro Yud Ches, Posuk Tesvov, Ki Yova Eilai Ha'om Lidresh Elokim. The nation comes to me to seek the will of the Almighty. They come to seek the Almighty. And this was referring to the dealings and the disputes of people. What at stake here is not merely to resolve the argument, but what is at stake here is what is right and what is wrong. Who is liable? There would be a car accident. Who is liable? The driver of the first car or the driver of the second car? The one who owned the bull or the one who owned the cow? The one who was supposed to watch the article or not? Who is responsible? And what is this based on? This is based on the very tenets of right and wrong. The very tenets of what is true and what is false. And therefore, we are seeking the thoughts and the wisdom of the Almighty. In this way, there is no difference whether the question is in Kashrus, or whether the question is in Sukkah, or whether the question is in a monetary dispute. We're not asking the Sanhedrin merely to resolve for us an argument. We are asking the Das Torah, what does the Torah say on this? Lidresh Elokim, what does the Almighty say on this? And just like we want to know what the Almighty, what the Torah says on when it comes regarding the laws of Kashrus or the laws of Tefillin, we also want to know what does the Torah, what does the Almighty determine in regards to this particular dispute. So in the source, there's no difference. In application, One applies to what the world would call religious law, and one applies to what the world would call civil law. But as far as Klal Yisrael is concerned, there's no difference, because the source is one. The source is what is right, what is wrong. And right and wrong is based on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Almighty revealed to the world what is right and what is wrong through His Torah. And therefore the source is one. There's a second level in this also. And that is, if the purpose of these laws were merely to resolve the affairs of men, then it would not be necessary to study these laws unless they had a practical application. If you had a dispute, you had to resolve it, there had to be peace, there had to be civilization, society. We must study these laws and apply them accordingly. What would be if it was something which is not relevant today, is not applicable today, then there would be no purpose in studying these. What would be if man lived on the world alone? Let's say one man was created, Adam HaRishon, the first man, and there were no other people in the world. So we could say the mitzvah of tefillin he would be given, the mitzvah of Shabbos he would be given, but all of these laws, the mitzvahs of Nezikin, these he shouldn't be given, because it's not, they're not relevant. They're only relevant, there has to be for some type of dispute, there has to be at least two people. So therefore they're not relevant. That's if they would be merely civil laws of government, to govern people. There are no people, you don't need government. But if these laws are just the revealing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He reveals Himself to the world. He reveals to the world the foundations and the sources of right and wrong, of true and false, of justice and corruption and justice. And by studying these laws, a person elevates himself, because he has been miskarev, he is coming closer to the directive thinking and instruction of the Almighty. So then what would be the difference if there are many people living in the world or one person alone? If the laws are applicable or not applicable? It's the same Torah. It's the same wellspring. It comes from the same source of the Almighty. And when man studies Torah, it brings him closer to the source of Torah. And therefore, Adam HaRishon, the first man, he was taught Torah. He was taught this Torah also, without a doubt. Because in this area of Torah, not only lies the principles of truth from the Almighty, but some of the most greatest principles of truth. And this is why the Chazal tell us, Haretzi Yahkim, Yasek Bedine Mominus. You want to come to Chochmas Hashem, to the wisdom of the Almighty? The greatest wisdom of the Almighty is found in Baba Kama, in Baba Tzi, and Baba Basra. Because these are the laws with the greatest depth. Mora tells us that the Umka de Dinoi, the depth of Dinim, is very great indeed. That if there's a dispute, Tawan Viniton, this one has a claim and that one has a counterclaim. And this one claims again and this one counterclaims. To come to the bottom of it, where true justice and righteousness should be executed, that's the greatest depth of the Torah. And there's another point also. And that is, these are not laws which are given over merely to accept or reject. They are not laws which were made by mutual consent. They are not laws which were designed necessarily for the mutual benefit of a community. But these were tenets which were embedded in the creation of the world. Because just as there's a physical nature in the world, and that physical nature has chukim, has laws. And the laws of the physical nature by no means can be transgressed. And if it is, there are tremendous repercussions. So when it comes to right and wrong is not something that was given to man to determine. The Almighty determined what right and wrong was. And he implanted this in the creation of the world. There are definite rights and there are definite wrongs in the world. And they cannot be changed. So not only are we delving into the source of the law, and not only are we coming and elevating ourselves to the Almighty Himself, but what's being revealed to us are the principles of right and the principles of wrong, which are embedded, which are planted in the world itself. Therefore, the Gemara tells us, Rashi brings it at the beginning of Parshas Yisro, Kol Dayan Shedon Din Emes La'amitay Nase Shutif Im HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Maisa Bereishis. That any judge that decides a case in accordance to the ultimate truth of the Torah, he becomes a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the creation of the world. Why? Because Deen is a concept, is a force, which the Almighty planted in the beginning of the world. States in the Mishnah and Masecht Oveis, HaShlesh Dvorim HaElam HaEmed Alo Deen. That one of the pillars of the world is Deen. And any judge that manifests this, he becomes a partner with the Almighty in the creation of the world. Because one of the pillars of the world is perfection of law. And also Rashi brings in the beginning of Parshas Yisro, any judge that executes a proper judgment, it's as if he sat and studied Torah the entire day. Because the execution of the law reaches the highest levels of Torah. Just as when one studies Torah, he comes to these highest levels. But this also we understand why those people who've had the privilege of studying Torah, one of the most favorite areas of Torah study, and especially in the Lithuanian yeshivas, was the area of Nezikim, of Baba Kama, Baba Basra, Baba Metzia, and Choshen Mishpat. And some of the greatest manifestations of Torah genius by great Gaonim for the past thousands of years came out in these areas. And some of the greatest Pilpulei Daraisa, debate and discussion, and Simchas HaTorah, the great happiness of Torah, And the reason is because when one studies Torah, this is not merely an academic exercise, but one is delving into the very foundations of the world, which are attached to the Almighty Himself. And the rabbis teach that in the mitzvah of studying Torah is the mitzvah of rejoicing in the machshova, in the wisdom of the Almighty. Part and parcel of studying Torah is to rejoice when we see the wisdom of the Almighty. As Dovra Melech said, Pikudei Hashem Yishorim Misam Chelev, that the mitzvahs of the Torah are yosher, are upright, straight, and therefore they bring simcha to a person. A person was created to be straight, not to be crooked. For example, if you would have a machine, a lock, and you put in a key that doesn't fit, the lock will not work, and you could jam the lock also. You can break it. Today we have computers. Into the computer, the right card, then the computer operates. If you put in the computer the wrong card, then the computer will come out with a message, something is wrong. You put in too many wrong cards, you can jam the computer also. Man was created, Yosher. He was created with an neshama, with a soul, where he thrives on perfect justice. Deviations to the right or to the left, this jams the machine. And therefore Shlomo HaMelech writes that Mishpat, justice, is a great simcha to the tzaddik. It's a great simcha to the righteous person. The Rosh, the wicked, that have already lost the nature that they were born with, to them it makes no difference anymore. They've been programmed differently. But to the tzaddik, to the person who still strives for the truth, he thrives when he sees something or he hears something that's right, that's true. If he hears things that are distortions, that are rationalizations, that are false, that are untruths, and so forth and so on, like our society is today, this destroys him. And we see it. We see people are subjected to such things. They become emotional wrecks, psychological wrecks, mental wrecks. And therefore, David HaMelech said, Pikudei Hashem Yishorim Misam Chelev. The mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are based on His seichel, on His wisdom, and therefore they are yosher, they're upright to the perfection. There's not a deviation to the right and there's not a deviation to the left. And therefore when one studies them, it brings simcha to him. It's the right program for the right machine, the right key for the right lock. It brings great simcha to him. Teiras Hashem Temima Meshivas Nafish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Teiras Tomim. It's perfect. Not a deviation to the right or to the left. Therefore, Meshivas Nafish, it brings satisfaction to the person, settles the person, it relaxes the person, contentment to the person. While when he sees a distortion, this plays havoc with the person. If the wrong card and the wrong machine can play havoc with it, you can imagine the human being whose emotional makeup itself is 1,000,000,000 times more complicated than the most sophisticated computer, without bringing in his spiritual makeup. Therefore, when one studies Torah, and he starts to hear of the great depth and the great righteousness of the laws of the Almighty, this brings a tremendous simcha. And that's the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The rabbis say that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to be mesameach b'seichel le'elyon, to rejoice in the great thoughts and the perfect thoughts of the Almighty. And therefore the Chazal said that if umka de dinoi, that when it comes to disputes, liabilities, loans, this is from the deepest area of right and wrong. So when one studies this, he delves into the deepest areas of Torah. Yachkim. It will give him wisdom. And not only will it give him wisdom, but he is bringing himself closer all of the time to the Almighty. When we're studying that one bull gored a cow, and it's a question now, who's liable, who's not, the application has to do with the two farmers. But the source of what we are applying, that has to do with the Almighty. His interest is in the perfect justice. Whose money is it? Who's liable and who's not? This is his interest. And when one is osuk, when he is totally occupied in this, and there's constant debate and provoking of thought and pilpul deraiso, discussion to finalize, to refine, to perfect the deen. So in actuality, what man is doing, he is coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu all of the time. And he is growing, he's elevating himself. Therefore the Gemara says, HaReitzel Yis Chosid, you want to be a Chosid? Chosid means to come to the highest levels. Kayim Divrei Nezikin, Mili de Nezikin. Go study all of the laws of damages and fulfill them. And this will bring to you the perfection of justice, the perfection of right and wrong. Torah builds the person. It's not a secular wisdom, which is just a manner of information, of transmitting information from one to the other. But Torah is an avodah, Torah builds the person. All of the information of the Torah transforms a person. And if he seeks the truth of the Torah, then he is transformed also. And he starts thinking differently. He starts seeing distinctions between right and wrong. He starts seeing what the Almighty's directions are. Teres Hashem Temimo, he sees its Tomim, Meshivas Nofesh, and it brings to him a completion of perfection. And therefore, there were no two areas when it came to Torah by Klal Yisrael. There was no such thing as religious law and civil law. There was no such thing that if you had a shayla and a sukkah, so you went to one bezdin, and if there was a dispute in a piece of land, you went to a different bezdin. The applications were different.
But the exercise with the source is all the same. And since the world's, the nations of the world, the human mentality is to think differently, is to think that when it comes to sukkah, or tefillin, or kashrus, that's kedusha, that's sanctity. When it comes to disputes and damages, that's something else. Therefore the Torah had to write a vov. And these are the dinim, the laws which you shall place before them. So Rashi says, what do we need the vov and these? Because I would think the Ten Commandments, they were given on Sinai. This is not from Sinai. This is merely pragmatic, civil and secular law. Leimaloch, my Elumi Sinai, af Elumi Sinai, to teach us that the others came from Sinai, these also came from Sinai. They came from the same source. Veleimaloch, and to teach us, Shetosim Sanhedrin Eitzel HaMizbeach, that the Sanhedrin, the court, which enacted all of the civil laws, all of the so-called secular laws, shall be built right on the complex of the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because the Beis HaMikdash had sanctity, so did the Sanhedrin have. There's no difference between the two. Heaven forbid one should think that there's more Kedusha, there's more sanctity when it comes to mitzvahs of tefillin and mitzvahs of Yom Kippur than when it comes to the mitzvahs of resolving the dispute between two farmers. And heaven forbid to think that one should concentrate more on other areas. Therefore our Chazal warned us, don't think that way. Areitzu Yachkim. You want to become wise with the wisdom of Torah? Yasek b'dinim omenus. You'll become wiser from the area of disputes and monetary laws. And you want to rise to Hasidus? There are many ways. But don't think that comes through fasts or through chumras or through concentration on certain laws which you might think are religious laws. Yikayim mili de nezikim. Fulfill all the laws of nezikim, monetary laws, and you'll become a chosid. And perhaps you might think that the punishment for the desecration of the so-called religious laws is much greater, and that the Rambam says to the contrary, kosher ancient shall midesh yeser mi ancient shall arise. A shopkeeper, you have a Jewish shopkeeper, keeps all the mitzvahs, except his weights and measures are a little off. He wants to make a little extra profit, squeeze out a little extra profit. But he keeps all the mitzvahs, he comes to shul, he puts on tefillin, fasts on the fast days, everything. You have another person, and he's involved in adultery and incest. The Rambam tells us, kosher ancient shall midish yesem, ancient shall arise. The first person has more to fear when he comes to face his maker in heaven than the second person. The second person kept all the other mitzvahs, except arise, except incest or adultery. And we know how severe this is. He has less to fear than the one who was squeezing a little extra profit out of his weights and measures. How can there be such a thing? Now from all of this we see something else also, and this is very important. We see how much we are influenced by the secular world. How much we're influenced by the secular world. There was once a great gaon that came to America. Rebbe Mendel Zaks, the son-in-law of the Chofetz Chaim, Zichreinu Livracha. This is a story that I heard from the Telzer Rosh Hashiva, my Rebbe Ramat Chai Gifter. Came from the Litvish Yeshivas, from Raden. He was also a Rosh Hashiva in Raden by the Chofetz Chaim. Came to America and he visited some of the yeshivas. When he came back to Europe, they asked him, "What did you see?" His answer was, I saw the development of a Christian Yiddishkeit. This is what he answered. The development of a Christian Yiddishkeit. I saw developing a monstrosity. A Yiddishkeit, but under Christian influence. And the Gifter and the Telzer Rosh Hashivas, and all of the Rosh Hashivas, they used to say, this concept that a Jew must be very careful when it comes to an area that the Goyim would classify as church. Fasts, dietary laws, laws of morality, ceremonial laws, and when it comes to an area which the Goyim will classify as government, civil law, that has nothing to do with Frumkeit. That's not religion. He says this concept, and at that time it started to develop amongst American Jewry, this concept is Christian Yiddishkeit. It's not from the Torah. It's from Christianity. Where in the Torah do you see any distinction between a mitzvah that has to do with what we would classify as a ceremonial mitzvah and a mitzvah that has to do with a man who left something in the road and another man came along and was damaged by it? Where do we see any distinction? Did we have two Sanhedrins? Did we have two court systems? Was there separation of church and state? Is one Kurdish and one not? And if you want to make distinctions, it's just the opposite. That the Torah makes places more emphasis on the other than in this. So from this we learn also how much we're influenced from the nations that we live by. And this is why Moshe Rabbeinu, the Maral brings, that in last week's Parsha, Moshe sat and judged the nation all by himself. It was after the giving of the Torah, and all of a sudden came down from heaven a Baba Kam and a Baba Tzi and a Baba Basra and a Cheshit Mishpat and whatnot. And everybody had 1,000 questions all of a sudden. So Moshe sat and judged the people all himself. And Yisro came and he said, "What are you doing? Novel Tibol." He says, this will overpower you. You're not capable of doing it all yourself. He says, "Why don't you create a system where you'll appoint judges, and you'll have state judges, and you'll have district judges, and you'll have local judges, a whole system. And the lower judge will be responsible to the court that's over him, and his court will be responsible to a higher court, and the higher court will be responsible to yet a higher court, and they will be responsible to your court. And you with the 70 Zakenim, you will be the Sanhedrin." So Moshe listened, and he said, "Well, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees to it, all right." HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed, and he established it. And that became the foundation of our court system, and it became the forerunner of all the court systems in the world today. The question is asked, this chokhmah that Yisro told Moshe was not so difficult. Anyone with a little administrative ability would think of this himself. The Moshe that went up to Har Sinai and he studied Kol HaTorah Kulda, the entire Torah, why wasn't he capable of thinking this himself? So the Maral answers, Moshe was very capable. He knew the idea, but he was against it. He was against it. Why? Moshe was called Ish Elokim, as we mentioned. Ish Elokim meant that Moshe had come to the level of perfect judgment, perfect justice. He knew that no one else in his generation was at that level. And therefore he held, when it comes to the Pekudei Hashem Yeshorim, the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which are perfect, and when it comes to the dinim, yet, which are to a depth which is almost impossible for a man to delve into. And there's the responsibility. Gemara says a dying a judge sits before two litigants. He must realize that there's a sword hanging over his head. And if it'll be mezakes achayev or mechayev es azakai, if he'll convict the innocent or vindicate the guilty, he'll be responsible for it. So Moshe held that the judgment which is closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than anything he put into this world, does he have a right to delegate that to other people? Well, that judgment will not be perfect. Moshe was Ish Elokim. He could execute it perfectly, but no one else could. And that's why Yisrael did not bring him merely an administrative etzah. Here was being discussed a principle, and therefore Moshe was against it. What did Yisro add? Yisro told him as follows. Theoretically you're right, but it states that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, first he created it Aladin. He created it in perfection of right and wrong. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that if the world is only created on the perfection of right and wrong, it will not last. So Shitiv Olores Arachamim. See, he brought in the quality of Rachamim also. The quality of compassion which allows one to deviate a bit. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that was necessary, because there was no other alternative, so therefore in your case also, where there's no other alternative, Kiznovel Tibo, you're right, theoretically only you should be the dayan, only you should be the judge. But the world cannot exist in such a situation. So you also have a right, therefore, to delegate this great responsibility to other responsible people. And he told him, you must look for Anshei Chayil, for men of strength, for men of She'emes, men of truth. So when Moshe heard this, he considered it. And he said, all right, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees, then I will agree. This is a very, very basic and important concept in Torah. Throughout the generations, there were constant movements to get away from the traditional study of Torah. And based on this basis, the Gedele Hador, the leaders of the generation, always fought it. There was one time a movement, this was during the time of the Maral, where the people started to study philosophy. The study of philosophy became very strong. And they held, you want to come close to the Almighty, you have to study philosophy. You have to study astronomy and the solar system. What are you wasting your time for, learning about disputes between people, arguments? What's that going to do? And he refuted it vehemently on this basis. There was times during the Musa movement when it went to an extreme. Chaim Volozhin and others refuted it. There was a time when Kabbalah, when Jews started to drift towards Kabbalah, to this Nister, to the hidden secrets of the Torah. They said, here lies the greatness of the Torah, here lies the sanctity of the Torah. Not in Baba Kama and Baba Metzia, that we were learning about squabbles between people. And Reb Chaim Volozhin and others, Nagon, vehemently went up against it, saying that unfortunately they don't understand what Torah is all about. Because my Elu Misinai, af Elu Misinai. The same one that gave the mitzvah at Tfilin, of Shabbos, of Kashrus, also gave the mitzvah of Shor Bor Ve'esh. That what happens if there's an accident between one man's cow and another, if a man's fire goes and spreads and burns other property, it comes from Sinai. And Shetosim HaSanhedrin Eitzol HaMikdosh, that the Sanhedrin that dealt all day in these laws, their place was right next to the Beis HaMikdosh. And the Kohen Gadol, the great, the high priest, the most elaborate garment that he wore was the Cheshen HaMishpat, in order to bring atonement al kilkul hadin, on the distortion of these mitzvahs. So there's much for us to learn from this area, from this concept, which unfortunately is misconstrued by the environments we live in. And may we be zeche to see growth in Torah, in mitzvahs, in mishpotim, and to see the perfection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah go throughout the entire world.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.